This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in Wyoming with a horribly violent rainstorm going on outside. It's so violent. That rainstorm needs to apologize to the non-aggression principle, I think.
But the government, who will protect you from lightning?
I don't know. I had a lightning strike in my backyard about 25 feet away from where I was sitting on my 50th birthday. It made me examine my mortality for about 5 minutes. Well,
you don't have to worry about lightning anymore. You're like pre-disaster.
It doesn't work that way. There's actually a fallacy for that. I think it's called the gambler's fallacy. If you work a board long enough, you know, and it's not paying off, the next person on it should get paid off. Nope. Every spin has exactly the same bad odds.
Which of course means that you should never walk away, because if you played once and you have the same odds the next time, logically speaking, you should just keep playing.
Well, you can't lose if you don't play. Isn't that what they say?
Yep.
Yeah. And life's nasty, short, brutish, and cruel, and so am I. We're gonna get kind of heavy here tonight. It's LRN, the radio network that is all Molyneux all the time, even though Molyneux's been kicked off the network. So apparently, like, all of last night's Freedom Fiends were about Molyneux. Half of today's Free Talk Live. And all of this show tonight, and then, I think we have some interviews coming up with some people who say they're victims of him. And
I call it the great man fallout. There's been this big Molyneux explosion, and now there's like trickling radioactive Molyneux fallout sprinkling all over all the podcasts.
The EMP is frying our neurons. Yeah. And DJ calls it the mauling of Molyneux. And
that's good too.
Yeah. So let me open this debate between you and I on the first presidential non-voting anarchist, no government vote on Molyneux and where we stand on him. I will start with my opening statement, and I've been given 3 minutes by the docent and moderator. So here I go. I'm not for bashing fellow liberty folk. I tend to avoid gossip and conflict. I generally suffer fools within our community and leave them to do their own thing without much commentary. But I think it's necessary, if liberty is to spread and survive, for us to not give that bad actors a pass. And I don't want to speak really collectively, so I'll say, instead of saying we, I'll say I. I think there are occasions where I need to actually put into action the thing that everyone in liberty, including Molyneux, says all the time, that instead of resorting to government guns, shunning is the greatest way for people to take care of problem people. And I don't agree that, we have to all stick together, which is something I'm hearing a lot. I think liberty is a big enough boat that one person can't sink it. I don't agree with this thing that I've seen like 10 times from 10 different people of, I can't believe y'all are arguing about this when kids are dying all around the world. We have bigger problems, which I've heard that exact thing from so many people over this Molly blowback that I think that maybe it's something that Molyneux is scripting for his devoted Molly nuts. Like, you know, it's the ANCAP version of think of the roads, maybe. So Davi, last night's show was good radio, but I think you and Derek, and especially Derek, were giving Molly too much of a pass. I know that Derek tends to look at both sides of everything, but he hasn't looked at the evidence as closely as you and I, which is a thing I'm hearing a lot. Like, a lot of people who are like, hey, you know, who saw some of his videos 8 years ago and they were like, wow, those are really smart. And he's explaining the gun in the room and it's great. You know, people who like think of him as likable and charismatic and he is all those things. But people just go, oh, well, he, you know, you're wrong. And they don't look at the evidence at all. And there's a lot of it going around right now. So your conclusion from the show was, you're no longer sending people to Molyneux's videos. My response is beyond that. It's, I think he should be roundly and completely shunned. And I don't ever want to give any kind of half measure response about him again. Like, well, he still has some good things to say. You can take the good and leave the bad. Because when someone has so consistently done reprehensible things, like backing the state with the Ferguson situation, like verbally bashing women and blaming them for the ills of the world, like using government guns to silence opposition and twisting the truth when confronted about it on camera, on top of a decade of saying just incredibly whack stuff about every 3 minutes, you know, about 10 seconds out of every 3 minutes of video he's ever produced. I really don't think you can say, take the good stuff and leave the rest, which is, I'm hearing that from a lot of people. I'm discouraging that. I feel like there's a moral imperative, at least for me, to throw the king baby out with the bathwater and look elsewhere for wisdom. What say you, sir? Over to you.
So I'm really torn about this stuff because I analyzed all the evidence that I've been presented with, and I can conceptualize both sides of the argument and a whole spectrum of sort of arguments on either side. And I feel like I'm this like reed in the wind that just leans toward whoever I heard last, right? So I hear a good argument on one side and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And I lean that way. And then I hear another good argument on the other side and I lean the other way. And I keep going back and forth. But I mean, I agree with you in principle. I'm not sure I agree with you in rhetoric, which is maybe a minor distinction, right?
So basically what you're, you know, what they used to say to me in NA when people would talk like that is, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, which is, you know, kind of like old, cool old jailhouse, you know, wisdom. But it also kind of reminds me of like, we're at war, pick a side. You're either against us or with us. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to put it this way. I don't think it's up to me or it's any requirement of me to like rally the troops to, I think this guy's demise is imminent. I think you said it really well last night with your, say your Rodney King thing again. That was really good.
Yeah. So, again, all the caveats in the world comparing Stephon Molyneux to the LAPD, but
I like it.
here's my point is before the advent of handheld cameras, everybody knew that there was a problem with the LAPD and there were lots of people who experienced police brutality, but when they went to file a complaint, they were told it's your word versus the officer and the officer's testimony tends to take precedent over a civilian's testimony. And so nobody was sort of really able to get any kind of restitution or answer to their grievance
or even
and
anyone
that frustration,
or even anyone believing them other than people in their community who'd had it happen to them. Yeah.
And that frustration builds and builds and builds so that when the Rodney King video comes out, you're not just seeing frustration about Rodney King. You're seeing frustration about a systemic problem of police brutality, finally having the evidence presented indisputably. And so, I think that that's what's going on.
So in this analogy,
I don't think people are this.
In this analogy, True Shibes is Rodney King.
Yes.
I think you need to make t-shirts that say
IP scandal, these documents, they're the video. Like, I don't think IP is this passionately debated of an issue. I think that people have been frustrated by this for a long time, and it's exploding now.
The fact that he used government guns to take it down is not the major issue for me. It makes him a little bit more hypocritical on top of a lot of other things he's done that are hypocritical. I wouldn't care if he had, you know, called up his buddy at YouTube and said, hey, delete that. The thing that's major to me, or used a magic fairy wand to delete True Shibe's channel. The thing to me is that he, you know, tried to eliminate, you know, someone criticizing him. I mean, that's Stalinistic. That is mind blowing to me. It's, you know, Ian Freeman like is so against IP to the letter of the word to where like there was a like white power radio show that came up for a while that was called Free Talk Live. And he didn't even send him an email. He's like, yeah, whatever. People know we're us. And then of course the guy running that channel murdered his wife and then killed himself. So, you know, nature took out the trash, but I feel like that's happening with Molyneux. You know, not anything about violence or guns or that, but I feel like I am willing to bet that he is not going to recover from this, especially since he's not doing any kind of like backtracking of, okay, you know, like a Ron Paul thing, like, oh, I don't know who wrote those racist newsletters. No, it's like Mike DeMarco is his right-hand man, who's like his partner. He consults everything on, they see each other on everything. I've had dealings with him. They're one unit, man. They are one unit in that company. It's not like, you know, the guy who did it is in the Fairfield office and the president's in, you know, New York City office.
And then he went on Joe Rogan and he confirmed everything. So he's at least admitting to all of what he's accused of.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. He's not trying to pass the buck.
I've only ever seen the guy admit he was wrong once. And it was when I interviewed him for the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. He did it live, I think streaming while we did it. And then he put the whole thing up on his channel. Actually, I don't know. I can't find it. I don't know if he took it away or if he just only ever put up the choice bits of what he thought was good and took out most of my talking. But on kittyfeet.com, the Anarchy Gumbo podcast, I'll link this. There's the whole interview, audio only. And about 50 minutes into it, 48 or 50 minutes into it, we get in an argument because he starts trying to psychoanalyze me. And it was like bad touch on my brain. It really shocked me. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't want it. And I didn't know what to do. It was like live. We were rolling. And it really upset me. And I'm sure he would say, well, that shows there's something wrong with you, that you can't answer honest questions. And it's like,
that you don't want to just respond to that questions about your childhood at a moment's notice with a stranger.
Yeah, with a stranger, man. And, you know, we got it. He basically said that, like, you know, I'm into kind of kinky sex consensually with my wife. And he said, you know, well, you maybe need to look at your childhood problems that would lead you to that. And, you know, we got into this argument about it, and I basically just stressed the point that I didn't think that people being into kink meant they had a bad childhood or they needed to seek help. And he actually admitted, well, maybe I'll look into that and see, you may be right, or something like that. It's the only time I've ever seen him recant on anything, and or even mildly recant on anything. And it kind of, like, that was the point I quit liking him. I never donated. Unlike you, I never donated. You were never an inner circle, like, you know, Mooney type with him, but I never.
No, but I do have the gambler's fallacy working for me.
Yeah, there you go.
But, no, it's the sunken cost fallacy is what that one is.
You know, I think your analogy about, but that's when, you know, I basically what I'm saying is I disliked his whole thing 2 years before it was cool. You know, like 2 years ago, I was like, this guy isn't good. And I talked about it on the Freedom Fiends. Like, Nima Vidati turned me on to that guy 4 years ago and was really like, not culty about him, but like, man, this guy is the thing, man. You got to check him out. And I checked him out.
Here's why I don't want to throw out what is good. It's because there is so much there that is such powerful tools. Like, I'm not certain, but I'm fairly sure that he coined the phrase "the gun in the room." Like, well, I think that's his. Or it's, you know, so there's these quintessential libertarian arguments.
No, man, I think it's Lysander Spooner. I think it's in, you know, the thing with about the highwayman in Lysander Spooner's Constitution of No Authority. I'm about 99% sure of that.
I just mean the phrase "the gun in the room."
No, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll be back with more on Molyneux Chat.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Have you recently defooed a cult that demands constant devotion to a figurehead? The guy who claims to be anti-IP, but uses IP to silence critics? That charming gentleman who thinks all your problems are from bad parenting? If you're tired of tithing to messiahs who demand a lot of your money, consider donating to the Freedom Fiends. We're more fun and don't require constant praise. In fact, we don't even like audience involvement. We talk, you listen, if you want. And if you send us a dollar, we won't complain. We'll dig it. That's freedomfiends.com.
Worms!
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is Mr. Michael Dean. And I'm talking to Dobby Barker, the shiny badger. Hello, Dobby.
Hello.
Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I have not been contacted by the government.
Well, my friend True Shibes. Oh, wait. I'm not supposed to say I know that person and we've been chatting a lot. This person named True Shibes has been, well, I didn't ask permission to. I don't know. It's, you know, they want their privacy. But True Shibes, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Darn. You know, this isn't the first time Molyneux has issued takedown notices for critics. The other one might have been a terms of service thing without a government gun thing through the own, like a web host. But you know about that, right?
No, I don't know this story.
Well, you know, there are like 10 websites that have been running for between 5 and 10 years that are basically devoted to,
yes,
Molyneux is a cult leader. Molyneux is a scam. Molyneux is a horrible person. And here's the evidence. Do you know about that?
I am aware of these. I haven't looked into all of them, although the ones I have looked at were run by the parents whose kids broke ties with them. And I always thought that that was strange because it wasn't like a website of hey, son, let's reconcile. It was a website of like, hey, let me get mad at this guy.
Well, there's one called FDRLiberated.com, and there's another one called Liberating Minds. Oh, no, that's part of Liberating Minds. That's the one that had the takedown notice, I think. Let me look it up. But, you know, it's kind of like people might say, well, you should have your evidence ready here, but, like, the evidence is astounding. Like, the amount of stuff you can point at about this guy that is whack, to use the old phrase. I want to use a cuss word on radio, but I'm not, so I'm using, like, dated urban slang from the 80s. He is whack,
man. I've been trying to introduce the word gox as a curse word.
You got got. Well, Molyneux tried to, you know, Molyneux goxed. That'd be a good one. Molyneux goxed True Shives.
No, it's more like a curse. Like, man, gox that guy. It's like wishing financial misfortune on someone.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well, I think that's going to happen with Molyneux anyway, because he's already been kicked off of Peter Schiff's radio network. And,
really?
Yeah, or he's about to.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's taking it.
Yep, and he's not being invited to. There's something that he was supposed to speak at that he's not being invited to. Yeah, I think he's going to, you know, I don't think he's going to be the go-to, hey, let's get him to be our keynote speaker anymore. I really think that's going to happen, because there's just so much out there that, like, people didn't really notice before. It's like you said, like, you know, this is kind of like the other 20,000 black people that have been beaten to a pulp by the LAPD coming out with their stories now, or their stories have always been there, and now the reporters are coming around and saying, hey, we want to talk to you, you know, and,
you know, to use another completely hyperbolic analogy, it's like when somebody comes out and says their teacher touched them, and then a bunch of other students come out and say, yeah, he touched me too.
Yeah. That does happen, you know, and sometimes there's nothing to it and it's a Me Too kind of thing, or trying to punish the teacher for something. But, you know, sometimes it's not. And I really want to stay away from pedophilia comparisons with Molyneux. Not because I don't think it's fair. I don't think he is a pedophile, but I think he goes after young minds and likes to touch them. I'll say that.
Well, I'm the reason I'm giving these caveats is because I recognize fully that it is not a like of kind, if that makes sense. It's just an analogy.
Yeah, but he uses that too with people, like, you know, in passing, like, well, you know, that's like that's how pedophiles think, you know, of critics. But
yeah,
so, you know, if somebody says, like, well, Michael, you don't really have all your evidence in line here, you know, it's kind of like putting together everything about him would be like the amount of work it takes the federal government to put together, like, a big money laundering case. I mean, there would be truckloads of paper, literally, if you printed this all out. And, you know, I kind of have to ask too, like, is there something to that? I mean, I know people are jealous when somebody's big and popular, but, you know, like, Jeffrey Tucker's really big and popular, but I would never want to go after him and say bad things about him. I mean, you know, he wears a bow tie and it's kind of funny, but it's like, that guy's pretty solid and he says some good things and he's cheery and he's charismatic and he's a lot of the things Stefan is. But, you know, there's no big, like, sites devoted to, he touched my brain in bad places and made me leave my family and took and made me give him all my money and tithe to him. So
it's because Molyneux tackles the family, right? That's why. And it's like, part of me thinks that, well, then yes, of course people are going to be upset about that. And part of me thinks, well, that's because he's taking flat because he's over the target.
Maybe. I mean, that could be said. I wrote a book called User's Manual for the Human Experience before I ever heard of Molyneux that has a chapter called No Contact, which is about, I mean, the first half of the book is about dealing with creepy people in your life, family and friends and people close to you. And in a lot of cases, I recommend getting them out of your life, but usually for a period of time with conditions and then revisit it, which Molyneux doesn't do, and not nearly as quickly or adamantly as he does either. You know, I think it's getting rid of bad people is good. I just kind of feel like he takes it too far and too quick.
For sure.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to Dobby Barker. And, you know, I've only ever said anything really bad, gone to lengths to say anything bad about three people in Liberty. And it wasn't because they did anything to me. Like, the first person was Mark Stevens. Never had talked to the guy. But he tried to give legal advice to a friend of mine, you know, who was facing felonies, and I thought it was really bad advice, and he's not an attorney, and she thought he was. He didn't say he wasn't. And I thought he was, you know, I thought he should just put a disclaimer on his show that he's not an attorney. That was it. And he was just incensed by that. And we traded some open letter barbs back and forth, and then it went away. And then someone called into the show 6 months later when we took calls back then and said that, you know, he was facing like 40 years in prison for taking that guy's legal advice for something that would have been like 9 months in jail. So, you know, I know of at least one person who says that it worked against you know, what it was supposed to do. So the second person was Chris Cantwell, who Davi and I did a whole show called Is Chris Cantwell a Cop? And we don't say his name on the show. We usually call him He Who Cannot Be Named, like after Voldemort. You know, I think that guy's bad for Liberty. I think I'm surprised. You know, here's the thing, like with people like him and Molyneux, I don't think the problem is the people. I think the problem is that so many people like these people, and it's not jealousy. I'm happy, you know, maintaining my amateur status so we can compete in the Olympics. There are far more popular libertarian celebritarians than myself who I would never even consider saying a bad word about. I'm just like amazed when there's like an Emperor's New Clothes or worse situation happening and people are, you know, displaying traits that I think should be shunned. If people want to go by that libertarian thing of libertarians should shun bad people, that's how it works. You don't give them a pass. People say that, but then they never do it, or they're afraid to do it. You know, we called him who cannot be named, and I think we're done with that guy for now. Although I'm pretty sure I came up with the term libertarian brutalism. I'm looking for the Freedom Fiends episode from 2 years ago. So Chris Cantwell called his house the Brutalist House. It's named after something that came out of my head. So good. There you go. But, you know, we call him He Who Cannot Be Named. We have actually hit the cuss dump when people mention his name on here before. I'll never mention his name again, probably. I probably will. But, you know, I'm done. I'm done with that. I've said what I have to say. And nobody, you know, nothing happened, nothing changed.
Are we not calling him Burrito Boy? I thought that was the new policy.
Oh, he cannot be smelled? Because he told a story about how he was the smelly kid in school. But no, I don't want to do that, man. It's silly. But I want to call Molyneux He Who Cannot Be Shamed. Because it seems like no matter what people say about him, he just blocks people, you know, says bad things about him behind their back, cuts them off, tells his Molyneux, which is the word I've heard for the word I heard for his followers, his hardcore followers.
Using Molinites.
Molinites. It sounds like a mineral. Yes, Wyoming is known for its uranium, coal, and Molinite production.
It sounds like Mennonites.
Yeah, that's true. You know, so this is the third time we've done this. We don't like making a habit out of it. It's time-consuming, brainworm-consuming. It's not where I want to be. I'd rather be talking about fun stuff like worms and liberty and rock and roll we like and movies we like and, you know, zombies and things like that are fun, because that's what the Freedom Fiends is. But every once in a while, I feel like we have to really say – I have to say what I think. And, you know, then there's Davi, who, you know, agrees with all this, but also says that he wants to be like a reed bending in the wind and going both directions, which I think you got that from Karate Kid. Isn't that from Karate Kid?
Yeah, it's Mr. Miyagi said that it is the flexible reed which does not break.
I think that that's pretty good, because I think that movie probably contains in the 2 hours of that movie, Karate Kid, not the sequel, not the third one, but the first one. It's a great, great kids movie. I think that movie probably contains more solid ethical philosophy and liberty thought than everything Molyneux's done put together.
Well, it definitely has a foundation in the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, man. Yeah, karate does. It's, you know, you train your hands to never use them in anger.
And Mr. Miyagi is definitely more correct on martial arts than Stefan Molyneux,
who thinks that if you practice martial arts, you had a bad childhood.
You just
childhood.
Like hitting people.
Yeah, man. Ugh. So I've been running into this thing a lot of people who are fans of like not Molyneux, but really hardcore fans of him and really hardcore fans of the Freedom Fiends, who are harmed by the fact that I'm saying bad things about that other guy, you know, the other guy. It kind of, and I got an open letter from some guy, and I've gotten emails from people, and I've seen comments from people, 4 or 5 people. I'm not talking a lot, but They kind of sound like, my parents are fighting, it hurts me. First of all, I'm not anyone's parent. Second of all, if we are, I'm the father and Molyneux's the mother. Thirdly, I know what you're going through because I grew up listening to the band Dead Kennedys. Dead Kennedys formed my worldview when I was like 15. They trained me to distrust the government. They seemed smarter and more articulate than anything I was being told in school or by my parents. And when I was about 30 and living in San Francisco, and I knew them, like they came to see my band. Jello Biafra came to see my band Bomb at least 6 times, was up front, knew the words, drinking Heineken, and dug us, man. And, you know, East Bay Ray, I know him. I've jammed with him. I, you know, tried out for his band after Dead Kennedys. They're a San Francisco tradition like the Grateful Dead. They were everywhere and they were really cool. And I saw their last show. And the thing is, like, at one point after the band broke up, the Jello Biafra, the singer who ran the record company, was sued by the other 3 members for non-payment of royalties. And it really should have been solved by private arbitration, but Jello really wanted to make a kangaroo court out of it and have his day in court and drain the opposition's funding. And he acted like the state and he took it all the way to court. I went to the court. It was a jury trial. It was 2 weeks long. And it was like watching, I didn't see my parents' divorce proceedings. They did get divorced. It felt the same way as when my parents were getting divorced, but adult. It was like, wait, these people I looked up to who defined my ethical, you know, like constructs in this world, largely bigger in more ways than my parents, like they're suing each other. And I went to the court and I watched it for 4 days. I sat in the gallery for, you know, half a day or a day for 4 days. And court proceedings aren't as dramatic as they are in the movies because they only show the highlights in the movies. A lot of it was really grossly dragged out, boring procedural stuff. But there were some highlights, and it was like, you know, at one moment, Jello Biafra got up and gave some stirring speech about how I built this, and you know, he was kind of condescending. And the people in the jury who were like people who would rather be at their day job because they were losing money to be there, like really didn't like it. And then the drummer, you know, D.H. Pellegro from the band took the stand and was questioned. And it was like, he's like, yeah, man, I'm working as a UPS delivery guy. I don't have any money. This guy took all my money. And he was really sympathetic. And it was like, Jello lost. The band won the rights to have, you know, their royalties split evenly. And but it just really slayed me. It was also one of the things that, like, made me really open to being anti-IP later on when I first heard the concept. So I know how you feel, fans of both The Fiends and Molyneux, who consider, you know, stuff that we yell into microphones in our bedrooms to be in our home offices to be important. I understand it because I went through that with the Dead Kennedys thing. But I don't know, man. I don't, no matter how popular The Fiends got, there are never going to be 10 websites devoted to calling us a cult. We don't care. I don't care, man. I don't want to talk to people enough to run a cult. It sounds like a lot of work.
You know, I think what we're seeing is we're seeing the philosophy vacuum as the monopoly on philosophy collapses.
So you want to trust bust the cartel of the monopoly that Stefan Molyneux has of being the one people go to. He's the one.
Yeah, it's the people who sort of have the great man idea in their head are seeing the great man sort of picked at by all these, you know, Socratic gadflies. And
yeah,
you know,
I have an analogy and a solution for that too. I think it's a really good idea, and I've been trying to open source Liberty a lot more. Molyneux is a closed shop. Like, there is a pay only. This is kind of culty. There's a pay only section. Like, you have to donate a certain amount. You know, he may say I'm slandering him and this isn't true and I don't have proof, but he's built it in a way that you can't prove it. And people who've been there and defooed him say that this is true, that there's a spot where you don't get to post until you have donated at least $500. And he is active in that part. He's not as active on the other part. And if you criticize him at all, you are out and blocked and banned and shunned. And so I'm just giving him a taste of his own, you know, medicine. But here's the thing I think. I've been watching this show, The Wire, which is about drug deal, the drug trade and the police industrial idiots in Baltimore. And I learned something about how drugs are sold that I didn't know. And I looked this up and on the internets and found people who'd done it talking about it. And there's like, it doesn't cost, you know, they always have these like 12-year-old kids out selling crack and heroin. And it's like, you're like, how'd they get that? They must be, how does the economics of that work? And basically the way it works is people that the wholesaler, kind of mid-level guy, trusts will try someone out with a package. A package is 50 $20 vials of heroin or crack, and you know it's worth $1,000. And it's all prepackaged and ready to go. They give the kid the package, they sell it, it's $1,000, and they bring back $600 and give it to the dealer, and they keep $400. And they, you know, a couple kids standing on a street corner in a lot of neighborhoods can turn that over in a couple hours or less. And that's how it works. And if you build up enough of those, then you can buy a whole package and start kind of being the middleman and work up. So it's kind of like, you know, a pyramid scheme that kind of works, except that a lot of people get killed or busted along the way. So it's a turnkey self-sustaining business. I think Liberty should be a turnkey self-sustaining business to where there really aren't big corporatist, you know, there could be big stars like Jeffrey Tucker, but I don't think there should be rock stars who are corporatists. You know, it's like, I always liked bands that were kind of big, but when they got too big, they started to act like it and sound like it in their music
changed. They suffered from the Molyneux effect. Yeah, I mean, look at Metallica and their blue M&Ms.
Well, that was Van Halen. The Metallica sued their fans for copyright violation.
I'm pretty sure there were things like the blue M&Ms thing with Metallica, but
The blue M&Ms had a purpose, and it was if they didn't get that right in the rider, they had to be more careful about like the sound stuff and the electrical stuff. Like if they don't pay attention to something simple like that, there's going to be something else wrong. You know, okay. It was to keep from getting electrocuted.
It's a litmus test.
It was a litmus. It was the canary, warrant canary. All right, so I'll tell you when we get back about how we can take Liberty and treat it like the package model drug trade of heroin and crack in Baltimore and other urban areas.
Worms. Sounds like a plan. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean broadcasting from a windowless bunker in the middle of a thunderstorm. And Davy Barker, the Shiny Badgers over there. I got a couple corrections to make really quick. One is, because I can admit when I'm wrong. One is the other day I made a mistake about something about copyright. I said copyright can be renewed. Stefan Kinsella, the other strangely spelled Stephen in Liberty, said I was wrong. I was thinking of patents. And he's going to come on the show on Thursday to explain copyright to us and how it relates to the personal audio podcasting claim, you know, the claim of ownership by a patent troll on the technology of podcasting, which is actually what we should be talking about. It's far more important to me that I don't have to pay a royalty to podcast than it is that Stefan Molyneux is someone that I don't think people should listen to anymore. The other thing is I want to point something out. This is kind of connected to Molyneuxism. The other day on my call to Free Talk Live, which has been put up a few other places, it was about Molyneux, and it was when Ian said he had stopped programming Molyneux on LRN. Molyneux's no longer on LRN. I said something about the EFF and how great they are, Electronic Frontier Foundation. And I said that I had that I get about $50 a year royalties from my old rock band Bomb still to this day, like $50 a year, give or take. And it all goes to our guitar player, Doug. And I've told Doug last couple of years to just give mine to the EFF. He lives down the street from it. He walks by it to go to work. And he's been doing that. And I said, you know, it's $50 a year. It's not really worth even my bother accounting for it. And it's like, that is not what I meant. What I meant is it's not worth dealing with the other two members of the band who are so psychotic. Doug's great, but the other two are like so psychotic that I've defooed them. Like one of them, I will not take his calls. I won't take his emails because he tries to get in your head and messes with you. And I'm done with him. I've told him that and haven't heard from him since. Been good. And I blocked his emails, all that. I've defooed a few people that have been close to me, to use that term loosely.
It's a deboo.
It's a band of origin.
It's a band of origin.
Yeah, deboo. There you go. Deboo, you boo. And yeah, so it's like, you know, $50 a year. I get a bunch of different little checks like that a year. So I like it, but it's not worth having to have like email business meetings with the other four guys about discrepancies over this or that, or they think, you know, blah, blah, blah. I bought you a burrito back in 1986. You owe me. And one of those guys is like that. So no, it's not worth $50 a year. $50 a year, I will take a dollar from anybody and account it and deal with it and like it and thank you for it. But I don't want to take $50 a year if I have to deal with people who like ruined my life, you know, turned me onto heroin, goaded me into doing it. Like, come on, man, you're not a real, be one of the big kids, which was my decision. But it's like, you know, this guy was like the abusive older brother I never had. So no, that's what I meant by that. So I want to go back to the turnkey delivery of Liberty Media idea. You know, I'm really into teaching people how to do Liberty Media. We found this microphone. It costs $50. I've done this video on the proper setting up of a podcast WordPress site. You know, so basically I think that Liberty has gotten so solid out there of media describing it that without listening to the people the Freedom Fiends don't recommend, you can still go from statist to like knowledgeable ANCAP who can speak to it well and explain it and transmit it to others in about 1 to 3 months. It's gotten to that point in Liberty, which is good. That was not true, you know, 5 years ago. And somebody might say, well, that's because of Molyneux. No, it's because of everybody, man. You know, it's a good thing if you have a witty personality or you're fun, people like talking to you, you know, you're good on audio or video, audio and video, or just audio like me, you can basically like, you know, spend three months of nights on the internet, become a, you know, powerful speaker in anarcho-capitalism and start a podcast and start being a big fish in the little pond. And I'd rather see 50 of those than one Molyneux. I want to trust bust his corporatist capitalism in bed with the government and, you know, acting like a buffoon and, you know, give 50 other people a swing at the bat. And I'm liking helping, trying to teach people to do that. I want to see that happen. Davi.
You know, I'm waiting for the day when hipsters brag about liking the podcast before it was cool.
There you go. Well, I thought Molyneux was whack before it was cool. That's what I'll brag
worms
about. Worms. In hour two, we're going to talk about what defines a cult. We're going to go through the warning signs of an organization might be a cult on the Freedom Fiends. Oh, Molyneux, all the time this week. Apparently. I want to be done with it, but it's got to be done. Worms.
Worms.
We When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. Michael Dean and Dobby Barker. Dobby is the shiny hamster, shiny badger.
Shiny badger.
I'm the iron hamster. That is our radio wrestling name. So we're talking about Stefan Molyneux, Liberty superstar, for those of you tuning in. And somebody.
The falling star of Liberty.
The falling star of Liberty. Make a wish. All right. So, you know, Molyneux's YouTube site got taken down the same way his got taken down in April. Like, you know, somebody, the thing about YouTube, this is really horrible, is that because of the DMCA, this government gun to supposedly protect people's copyrighted content, you know, if they get like three, you know, you have to fill out a thing and like give legal proof that you are who you say you are. And make a demand that something be taken down. If they get three of those from three different people within a certain amount of time, like, I don't know, 72 hours or something, they have to take it down. It's like a legal requirement, or it's a YouTube policy based on the worry of the threat of government guns behind that legal requirement. There's actually rumor and innuendo that Molyneux's guy, Mike, may have put three different ones in three different names, because that's the only way I think one person could do it. I can't speak to that. But remember, his site got taken down for a while back in April. Do you remember that, Davi?
I do remember that.
And people thought it was the end of the world. And Molyneux's fans were like, this is an injustice. How can this happen? And those same fans are like, oh, good. He took down someone that was illegally using his, you know, making fun of him. And Michael DeMarco, his assistant, who you think that might not be his real name. Why do you think that?
I think I've heard him use other names around. I'm not really sure.
Was it Paul? What was the other name?
David, I think.
DeMarco. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's a middle name last, you know, maybe it's a first name, middle name thing. Some people go by both, and that probably has no meaning. But yeah, that guy took down the site, and then it looks to me like he's stretching the truth to the point of the breaking point. And he tweeted about it or posted about it when people were asking him about it when it first happened, and he said, you know, the people were like, why'd you take down the True Shibe site? Because that's the one people cared about. That was popular, kind of. And the other one, Free Domain Damon had like, I don't know, 8 viewers or something. And that was the one, Free Domain Damon one was the one that was like, you know, cyber stalking Stefan's followers and giving out their personal information, which I think is really heinous. Ian pointed out something, though, too, of like, why is that the responsibility of the site owner? That's not his problem. Ian's like, I wouldn't, you know, he sounded like he wouldn't do it. Like, yeah, I wouldn't bother. Who cares?
It's not anybody's problem. It's not an act of aggression.
Yeah. So, but DeMarco said, yeah, we took down True Shives because they were stalking people, or we took down that site. Maybe you didn't say that when somebody was asking about that, like there may have been some sleight of hand there or something, but you know, he basically sounded like he was saying they took down True Shives because of doxing, which is dropping documents, you know, personal information about, yeah, go stalk this person. Here's their phone number and here's where their kids go to school. That kind of stuff, which I think is heinous and I don't think anyone should ever do. I wouldn't be fun to dox because, you know, it wouldn't do much if you did. And this isn't a threat. This is just a like, you know, yeah, I never answer my phone anyway. And I've already changed my number once because someone we don't even know thought someone else had this number and was yelling up in the middle of the night. I'm always home. I'm always near a gun. And I sleep really weird hours and I don't have a doorbell. So, yeah, come to my house and... I'm just saying, like, you know, doxing. I'm not someone that would quake in my boots. I don't want it to happen, but people were freaked out about it. And, you know, DeMarco like played God and got that site drone and got True Shibe's drone, which I saw most of the site a month ago, looked through all the videos. They were funny. and then went and found there's a mirror of it now, which has the same number of videos, and I believe it's the same exact videos. And I watched them all. There's nothing in there about any of the callers or any of the fans. It's all Molyneux in his own words. You know, one clip where he says one thing, and then another clip where he contradicts it completely, and then text overlaid over it, like pop-up videos, you know, saying like, and yeah, this is silly. And it's funny. It's funny, and it makes the point. Here's the reason I think they took it down, because it's really hard to offer proof of Molyneux is inconsistent, because people say, prove it. And that leads you to go search through. That guy produces like 4 hours of video, maybe 2 hours of video a day for the past 10 years. So,
wow. You know, he actually used to joke about that.
About what? How hard about it would be
being difficult to call him on anything because everything is embedded in so many hours really? Of audio.
Well,
like early on when he was still recording in his car, he used to joke about that.
I would say I would play Molyneux's advocate and say, prove it. But, you know, the thing was with True Shibes, you could prove it, because True Shibes would take like, you know, go through it and do the work for you and find 2 minutes of, you know, a minute each of two clips from the same video or different videos and prove it. And you could link it and prove it. And I think he didn't want people to be able to do that. He wanted it to be this grand canon that you needed a computer, you know, you had to have your own personal librarian to be able to prove it.
So just transcribe everything. There you go.
Yeah, it's more fun to just look at a 1 minute video that nails it, you know, where he's saying, and you should never, ever, ever interrupt anyone. It's very rude and it borders on aggression or something. And then in the next, you know, 10 minutes later in the same video, which is 10 seconds later in True Shibes, were, you know, cuts of it, you know, he'd be yelling at a caller and interrupting him and cutting him off. So that guy smiles.
Interesting.
That guy smiles a lot. You know, there's a
which guy?
Molyneux. There's a Dead Kennedys line in the song MTV Get Off the Air. There's a line, there's something I don't like about a band that always smiles. I always thought that was a great line. And let's go into the what makes a cult leader. And I think one of them is like they're always happy and upbeat when they're with the public.
Charismatic leader, number one on every list.
So let's compare Molyneux to the fiends in this list and see. Someone called us culty the other day, and I'm like, no.
You stand accused, sir, of being a cult.
I think we're more like a gang, because a cult will take anybody that'll give their money, and we're like,
yeah.
People go away. Don't call them.
We also have a charismatic leader who's anxious to step down.
Exactly. Although that could be considered culty of like, I want to be the Messiah who's remembered when there are priests breeding priests. Well, I don't want to say priests breeding priests, but, you know, when my word and my thoughts and my modes are carried on throughout perpetuity. But yeah, I just want to decentralize liberty. So anybody with $50 can have a turnkey, very low paying business, spreading liberty.
Right. So number one, charismatic leader, check. I think we can say that we have a charismatic leader.
I don't know if I'm a leader. You called me fiend in chief. I like that. But I'm always anxious to get people to join it.
You're the Genesis fiend. How about that?
I'm fiend zero. Yeah. Fiend. my fiend social security number would be 000000000. You ever see The Simpsons where Mr. Burns has to give his social serial number?
No.
It's like, .002. Thank you very much, FDR.
I think there was one where Burns uses a phone number, and his phone number is like 7.
Because he's that old. Okay, so
we'll ask on a number two. Number two.
Well, wait. I want to discuss the charisma. Molyneux is charismatic in an interesting and kind of creepy way. One thing, he never, ever says or ah, or almost never uses filler words.
Went to theater school. Right, he's a trained speaker. Right.
But like to the point where Joe Rogan commented on it, like, yeah, man, you're so great to talk to. You never stumble. You just barrel right through like you're reading a script, but it's on the spot, on the fly. Just like Peter Joseph. And I'm like, ugh, really? That guy is a the zeitgeist guy. That guy is a
cult leader? Maybe we should do Zeitgeist too while we're at it.
I don't know. Hey, let me ask you this. You've had a lot of hippie dippy crap in your upbringing. Have you ever been around cult people or people that you
I've been a cult leader. Absolutely.
Well, in what? Really?
I had people who swear fealty to me as the Emperor of America for a while.
That's a joke on Emperor Norton, though.
Yeah, but people really did it.
But they didn't really believe it. Did they?
No, they really believed it. People believed it. They gave me money. There was a guy who wanted to like be in my Navy. Yeah, people absolutely like.
Was it a joke? Was it tongue in cheek?
It was for me, but not for them.
Okay, this is an interesting admission. This tops Derek's last night saying I tried to get someone banned from the community center. You know, that was kind of.
So here's the thing.
Yeah,
I came out tongue in cheek, presented myself as Emperor of America, and declared everyone, every man, woman, and child, emperor of their own nervous system. And some people got it and started writing to me, telling me their imperial titles.
Is there a website for this, or this is pre-internet?
This is pre-internet.
Okay.
Other people started writing to me and swearing fealty to me and asking to be part of my royal court.
That's creepy.
It was. And so I started having to find things for them to do.
Did you have to fake your own death to get them to stop when it got too big?
Actually, I did. I did do that.
I figured. So that's going to be a whole nother show. But have you ever actually like been around a real cult when you were raised by your hippie parents?
Yeah, you know, nudist colonies or getting in touch or Renaissance fair. No, I guess
those aren't really
culty.
Those are like single issue things that bring people together. Yeah, that's not really
that cult. We were a festival family.
There you go. So go on with we were raised by gypsies in the woods of Northern California, traveling around the country in a caravan drawn by horses solving mysteries. All right. So what's number two?
Number two, people.
Wait, did
always
we decide? Yeah, yeah. So, Molyneux cult in number one, charismatic leader. I don't think I'm not that charismatic, man. Ian Freeman was actually shocked when he met me in person and saw me do a Freedom Fiend show live in front of 30 people at Pork Fest, and he was like, "Man, you're really good in front of an audience. That's really surprising for someone who brags about living in a windowless bunker and never leaving their property."
Yeah, but you were the lead singer of a band.
Yeah, I got it. I still got it. Okay, so go okay. on. Okay, check and check for both columns for one.
I'm going to take this one for my important Norton thing too. People always seeming constantly happy and enthusiastic, especially if they have been told to act that way for potential recruits.
Say it again.
People, meaning members, always seeming constantly happy and enthusiastic, especially if they've been told to act that way for the potential new recruits.
No, there's something I don't like about a band that always smiles.
No way, man. We're all curmudgeon here. So.
We really are. We're all curmudgeon all the time. I mean, if there's anything
we
about
don't
that,
want
like
new recruits,
like,
that's one thing.
Someone said that we're kind of like a cult because we made up our own language. Is that one of them?
It's not, but it is on a lot of these types
of
lists.
But the thing is, like, we're more like a gang because we don't want to let anybody in.
No, you got to prove yourself to get in.
You know, we want to make a million podcasters, but I don't want them all on the Freedom Fiends. We also have our secret meeting with you and Ben and I once a week on the phone. That's going to be interesting.
So go start your own cult.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah, we're back. This is the Freedom Fiends with the first annual cult off. The name of this episode is Who's More of a Cult, Stefan Molyneux or the Freedom Fiends? We're going down a list. Where is this list from, Davi?
I'll keep score. This is from cultwatch.org.
Okay, which is a real, like, cult deprogramming resource site where parents and family members can figure out what to do and get in touch with people who do professional cult deprogramming. Now, they and another similar site have a page on Stefan Molyneux. Is that correct?
I don't think this particular site has a page on Stefan Molyneux. Okay. This isn't that one.
But there was one that does have one. What was it?
It was, hang on, I've got it
Google,
open here.
Just Google Stefan Molyneux.
Cultnews.com is the one you're thinking of.
Yep, okay. Hey, you asked me during the break, do cults compete? And you said, is there a name for that? And I said, yeah, it's genocide. But this is going to be a nonviolent competition here. You know, I still own the domain name.
You could also call it an election.
There you go. Yeah. I still own the domain name StefanMolyneux.bit, the Namecoin domain. I actually misspoke the other day and said I had freedomainradio.bit, but that wasn't available. I don't know who has it. I have StefanMolyneux.bit and StephBot.bit. I thought about turning them into True Shibes mirrors, but I don't know. At this point, that would probably be, you know, this guy's getting litigious and apparently has been in the past. So,
you think he'll sue you for possession of a .bit domain?
Well, I offered them to him. I registered when I was trying to promote Namecoin and MeowBit and get people to adopt that and, you know, actually do something to protect themselves against takedowns rather than just complain that the government's taking stuff down. I registered I have Lou Rockwell.bit. I have the only people who've taken them. Like I have Larkin Rose.bit. I have a whole bunch of them. I offered them to all these people and they were like, I'm too busy complaining about the government to help protect myself from the government. That's not what they said, but they were like, yeah, I don't know. I
snagged Avi Barker.bit.
Good. I have Jeffrey Tucker.bit. But you know, everybody was like, nah, kid, get away from me. You bother me. But, Ian Freeman set up freetalklive.bit and freekeen.bit. And let's see, the guy Scott Beezer set up the thing for his, you know, bigheadpress.bit. And there's one other. Who was the other? There's one other out of like 70. And I've still got all these. And they cost like, you know, a fraction, a cent to renew, you know. So I will renew them in perpetuity and keep them. I think I'll sell Stefan's to his for like, I don't know, 10 Bitcoin maybe, which is the thing. I said to everybody, or I said on the show, I'm giving this all free to these people. I'll help them set them up if they don't want them now. I offered them to everybody three times. That's how I know DeMarco answers for Stefan in email and CC Stefan, because I'd offered that to them three times, mm-hmm. including after his YouTube got taken down. And they were just like, nah, man, no thanks, just whatever. So I still have all those. And I said on the radio that, you know, anybody who didn't claim them after the, you know, first or second try, I was going to, of me trying to give it away and give them free consulting to set it up, I was going to sell it to them for whatever I thought I could when they come back. So
there,
yeah,
you go.
I got Stefan Molyneux.bit, but I'm just sitting on it. Okay, so the first annual cult off, we're competing. What's the next on the cult? Is your child in a cult?
Well, number two was people always seem consistently happy and enthusiastic, and the leader often tells them to act that way.
Do I sound happy?
No, we're a curmudgeon over here, so yeah, that's so
a check
that's
for
zero
Molyneux
for us.
And a one for Molyneux. All right, what's next?
Instant friends.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's what I've heard that about Molyneux, man. It's like,
I kind of want to take that one out because here's the thing. When I was a member and I got on the board, I did not feel welcomed by the board members at all. I kind of I did not get involved in that community because I found them.
You didn't donate.
No, but I did donate.
Oh, you didn't donate.
I was in the member
enough.
Section. I was a subscriber. I went in there with some questions and I got this sort of like Prissy, I'm more of a philosopher than you kind of response. I'm like, man, I don't like these people.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you weren't lost enough. Maybe, you know, a lot of cults or cult-like things or organizations with secret passwords, you have to look lost and want, your butt's kicked by the world and you're looking for the answer. You can't come in with the answers.
So you're saying they could tell.
Yeah, so let's not put anything plus or minus for him there. And for us, instant friends, the Freedom Fiends, no, I don't like people very much, man.
We're barely friends with each other.
We're barely friends with each other. Yeah, you and Ben and I was going to joke, you and Ben and I talk once a week secretly, which we do, and I was going to say it's talking crap about all the other co-hosts, but that's absolutely not true, and I don't want to I really like all the co-hosts. But yeah, we're not big on, I mean, we had a picnic at Porkfest and put police tape around it and didn't let anybody else into it. All right, so
that's how you do it.
So a not yes or no for Molyneux in your experience, and a definite no for the Freedom Fiends. Okay, what's next?
If you are told who you can and cannot associate with,
that seems to be very true with with the Molyneux camp. And it's very not true of the Freedom Fiends. We have co-hosts that are like...
We don't even associate with you.
That are friends. Yeah. We have co-hosts that are friends with people we don't like. Like Cantwell. You know, Davi.
Well, we do tell them who they can't associate with. It's us.
Yeah. Leave us alone.
To the Freedom Fiends. An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're doing the first annual cult off. Topic of the show is, who's more of a cult, Stefan Molyneux or the Freedom Fiends? And I have to clarify, as we're going to the break, I misspoke because I was trying to shove in words, which Stefan Molyneux would never do, because he's so eloquent. That's another thing, man. I don't practice, and I kind of don't care, so I'm never going to be a cult leader because I'm too rough around the edges. Rough. But I said, the last one was, says who you can associate with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mistakenly said, yeah, I mean, I don't like Cantwell, and Davi's friends with him, good friends. And I meant to say Derek. Derek J. Yeah. is good friends with him.
I didn't hear you, or I would have been horribly offended.
Yeah. Whereas there are people who, like, have blocked all their Facebook friends who didn't like Cantwell. They blocked all their friends that like Cantwell. And, like, yeah, whatever, man. That's grade school stuff. But, yeah, I don't care who people associate with, just as long as they don't bring around to my roped off barbecue or in the barbecue of the mind, you know, do what you want, freely associate with who you want. I feel like the Fiends are more of a gang, though. I said this to somebody, you know, like, we're not a cult. Cults let anybody in who have money. And I'm like, ugh, people. No, man. Yeah. I'm very
Speaking of roped off barbecues, yeah. Number five is hyped meetings. They try to get you to come to meetings rather than share the teachings with you.
Well, this brings up a theory of mine, is that Molyneux doesn't have nearly the followers that he believes he does. Now, you know, he brags about the most powerful conversation, liberty conversation. No, what is it? The world's biggest philosophy conversation.
The largest, most popular philosophical conversation in the world.
20 trillion downloads or something. Here's the thing, man. Downloads and views on YouTube does not equal fans. I mean, I have a YouTube video that I made that has 300,000 views or 250,000. It's called, if you want to see, it's a how-to video. And it's there's some philosophy in it, though. It's called How to Shoot a Glock Faster and More Accurately. And I have some of the things that have, you know, 30, 40,000 views, some of the Guns and Weed chapters and a few other things that have, you know, so that doesn't transfer into income or into, into followers, like people who wake up every day for years and want to know what you have to think about.
You've swayed me on this one just now, because I originally said no for this one because Stefan Molyneux doesn't have meetings. But if you consider the podcast's meetings, the podcasts are hyped. And the followers do say, oh, I can't explain it to you. Let me just send you a video.
Yeah. I just found the video. It's How to Shoot a Handgun Faster and More Accurately. I made it. I filmed it. I directed it. It's got 349,349 views. That's a kind of weird number. 349,349 right now. So I've got some incredibly popular videos. But, you know, that doesn't make a following. I think – here's what I think. I think he acts like he has between 50,000 and 500,000 hardcore followers. I think he has between 500 and 1,000 hardcore followers. Here's why I think that. If you go to the meetup.com, and I'm not sending people to, don't troll his users. Just like, if, you know, at meetup.com, it's where the Stefan Molyneux meetup groups, you know, organize themselves. The major cities, New York, Chicago, LA, maybe Houston or Austin, they have about 50 or 60 each. And then every other town is way lower than that. A real hardcore, popular, you know, famous person like Joe Rogan. If Joe Rogan had meetups, you know, there'd be 500 people there in LA. There would be, and they'd pay. I mean, he's, you know, without even being there, like the fan club meetings of him would have way more than that. It was kind of funny too, because it was geo searching, like where I was. And when I got on the site for the Molyneux meetup page, it said, hi, I see you're in Casper, Wyoming. Would you like to be the first person at the meetup for Stefan Molyneux there? Yeah, I'll just go stand in front of the library and hand out pamphlets and play a recording of this episode. No,
so
man.
This is halftime in the Cult Olympics, and yeah. The current score is Freedom Fiends 1, FDR 4.
So they're more of a cult. All right. So do we have secret meetings? Yeah. You and I and Ben Stone have a secret meeting for about an hour or two on Skype once a week, and no one is invited. That's not really a secret meeting.
That's not really hyped.
That's like a business. That'd be like saying, is IBM a cult? They have secret business meetings. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So number six, they hide what they teach.
It's where the secret meeting is where we centrally plan liberty. Okay. They hide what they teach. I don't hide anything I teach. In fact,
we're
a teaching hospital, and I do videos and write books on how to teach stuff. And actually I've done books in the past. Someone could criticize me for this. I still make money from books I wrote years ago from companies that own the copyright on the books, and they pay me royalties. And I guess someone could say, well, if you're pure, you'd burn those checks. And I say, like, well, forget you. But there's like literally nothing I could do. Like if I wrote to them and said, I guess I would have to buy out the copyright and then make it open, you know, make it Creative Commons. So it's all stuff I've done in the past, but you know, I do a lot, everything I do now. Absolutely. Everything I do is Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license. Do what you want with it. Period.
So I'm going to have to give Free Domain Radio or Stefan Molyneux a yes on this one, because I happen to know that in the subscribers section, in the behind the paywall, there are things that he doesn't talk about on the podcast. For example,
like, isn't Freemasonry like that? Like you go up levels and they reveal more?
Yeah, it is like that. I didn't get very high.
Which I don't even know Freemasonry is a cult. You know, I know very little about it, but I know that there are, you know, secret society. It is a secret society. And my dad was a member, and he told me that, like, yeah, they kept telling him, like, well, if you do all this work, learn all this knowledge and do all these things for us, you can get to the next level and more will be revealed. I remember somebody coming into NA or AA and speaking at a meeting and saying, when I first came in here, you know, I'd heard of the 12 steps, and I was under the impression that they don't reveal step two until you've done step one. Like, you don't even know what it is. and then I came into my first meeting, and the 12 steps, and it was open to the public.
Written on the wall.
And they were written on the wall, and it blew my mind. Yeah.
There you go.
So go on.
Number seven. They say they are the only true group or the best, so why go anywhere else?
Guilty. Molyneux. Yep. He said, without me, the world would have to wait 2,000 or 2,500 more years for this knowledge.
Yeah. And it's also the tagline of the show, the largest, most popular philosophical conversation in the world. So why go anywhere else?
Yeah. It's not that much. Ian was asking that, like, well, how have you ever heard of any
who
other
are you competing
ongoing?
With,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So is the Freedom Fiends guilty of this? Are we the one true group? Are we the best at something?
No, we're trying to replicate it and make 50 or 100 other people know how to do it and do it better. I'm actually also in the process of making the show bus proof. I was talking to I'm not even going to say who, because I don't want to make them drone targets, but a couple people today, and then a couple people, including Davi. So let's make him a drone target. This show really soon, like as of tonight, is going to be to the point where if I were killed, there are people who have the passwords and people who know how to do it and people who could take it over. You know, I would hope they'd keep us on radio. If they didn't, though, it'd still be on LRN. It'd still be churning out a podcast every night. You guys could vote and make it earlier if you want. I know there's some grumblings of it's too late, but yeah, man, it's going to be bus proof. Like if I get hit by a bus, this show will go on after tonight.
Groovy.
And I want it to. And that's on record.
So, number eight, saying that you have to make people pay for it because otherwise they won't appreciate it.
No, I don't say that. I've said that before in a joking way of like, man, I give stuff away too much and people don't seem to get it. Maybe the problem is that they need to pay for it to appreciate it. But then that doesn't make me start charging for it or charging more for it. I just say, well, people are flawed. Okay, whatever.
See, Molyneux not only does this, but he complains if you don't pay enough for it that you don't appreciate it.
He screeches. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, go on. I think that leads into the next one. So give him a check there and no check for us here. So go to the next one, please.
They do not allow their teachings or practices to be questioned.
Yes for Molyneux and no for us. Yeah, Molyneux apparently will use government guns that he has spoken against to silence critics. And I've been banned. I've been blocked by two or three of his fans on Facebook recently for like politely questioning maybe the dear leader isn't as pure as you think, and been told I was being blocked. Like, I'm blocking you now, and then they disappear from the thread. Yeah.
I want to suggest that maybe we're guilty of this. If we don't take any callers and nobody can ever question us, isn't that not allowing our teachings to be questioned?
No, it's more like I just don't want to. You know what? The reason I do that, and people do question it. Put it this way. Stefan Molyneux is trying to block people from questioning it on their own property, on their own show. I would never do that. If somebody wants to start a, you know, Michael Dean is dumb and the Freedom Fiends are fools YouTube channel, more power to you. And you can use as much fiend excerpts as you want to do it. Yeah, we're not guilty of that at all, man. The reason I don't want to take calls is because, like, tonight they're having a stimulating conversation. This, aside from, you know, the people that are just want to cuss on radio or, you know, want to mess with you or whatever, just want to mess with anybody on radio or just want to be heard, like Wit, that guy used to call Free, you know, the horrible person that used to call Free Talk Live, who they finally defooed. And I told them to defoo him like a year ago. I wouldn't tolerate that, man. If we were a call-in show still, I would have blocked that guy the first time and never let him back on as soon as I realized it was him every time. But there was a caller, there was a, like, stimulating conversation about Stefan Molyneux going on last and for like an hour on Free Talk Live today. And the last caller was this guy who sounded like someone's great grandpa going, you know, these emails you get where they say that if you send them a bunch of money, they'll send you, you know, like he was talking about Nigerian scam. Like he wanted to know about them. And I'm like, come on, grandpa, you know, if you have to like spend all your time. And this is where I differ from Ian Freeman. Like he's all about openly trying to help everybody one by one, and he'll give all his time for it a lot of the time. And I'm like, man, we're never going to make it to Mars if we're like stopping to tell people not to eat dirt, you know? So yeah, I don't like to take calls, but I will not try to stop anybody from, you know, denigrating me on their own site or another site somewhere else. So yes for him, no for us. Go on, please.
Okay. Number 10, and this is kind of a long one. They will push you to obey using guilt. They will demand complete submission to its leaders and its teaching. They will do this by making you feel rotten about yourself. They will ridicule you and attack any weakness that you may have or invent weaknesses that you don't have.
I've heard that's absolutely true in the inner sanctum in the of his organization. But in the outer sanctum, some of that's true. I mean, he tries to guilt you for not giving money. He has said things that imply that if you don't believe his philosophy, there's something wrong with you. After he's explained it to you, you know, it's kind of like Christians, like a lot of, you know, evangelists who are like, we have to spread the Bible to the world because when everyone dies and goes to heaven, they have to have been given the choice and turned it down, which is based on a particular Bible verse. But
I mean, there's a sense in which everyone had a bad childhood is similar to an original sin. It's like everyone's broken and I have the solution.
It's Stefan's atheist original sin. Yeah. How can an atheist run a cult? I guess one can, but
none of these are religious, and that's sort of interesting. Yeah. Nothing on this list has to do with a higher power.
Well, we'll be back with the final question and the tally, the computation, the tabulation of the results after this trip to the free market on Do You Want to Marry a Cult Leader? All right.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Have you recently defooed a cult that demands constant devotion to a figurehead? The guy who claims to be anti-IP, but uses IP to silence critics? That charming gentleman who thinks all your problems are from bad parenting? If you're tired of tithing to messiahs who demand a lot of your money, consider donating to the Freedom Fiends. We're more fun and don't require constant praise. In fact, we don't even like audience involvement. We talk, you listen, if you want. And if you send us a dollar, we won't complain. We'll dig it. That's freedomfiends.com.
Worms!
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean with Dobby Barker on the near the end of the first annual cult off. The I think the title of the show is going to be "Who's More Culty, Stefan Molyneux or the Freedom Fiends?" Now, there was one question that wasn't on here. We've gone through the whole list, but there was one Was there one about has their own language or glossary?
Yeah,
or?
This is a bonus round. This isn't actually okay, on this list.
The bonus round.
But this belongs on the list, and that is that cults have a tendency to create their own language, and that's a way of sort of alienating the recruit from their friends and family by teaching them to speak in a way that their outsiders don't understand.
Molyneux and the Freedom Fiends are both definitely guilty of that.
Yeah.
Defu, worms. Yeah, we have a whole glossary. We actually have a glossary. I don't know if he has a glossary, but does he? You've been on the site. I haven't been on
it. I don't think I've ever seen a glossary.
I've only looked at the front page and went, I'll just catch him on LRN if I want to hear him. And then now I can't do that anymore. So I've seen a lot of his podcasts, and I've seen parts of a lot of his podcasts, and I've seen True Shives, and I've had him try to psychoanalyze me in the middle of an interview. So that's enough for me.
Yep. So that's it. The end of the first annual Cult Olympics commenced, and the judges have returned with their verdicts.
Vanna White, tell him what the results are.
So that's Freedom Fiends with a score of 2 and FDR with a score of 10. So
wow. Is that a 10 out of 10 or that's a 10 out of 11?
It's a 10 out of 10, but it's a 9 out of 10 plus one bonus round.
Okay.
We went into overtime even though the game wasn't tied.
Okay. So he's more culty than the Freedom Fiends, Freedom Main Radio, FDR.
Yeah, and, this doesn't mean that he's a cult. This just means that of the, list of things that you use to identify a cult, he has a 9 out of 10 of them.
And tomorrow night on the Freedom Fiends, we will be doing an interview with a woman who says that that Stefan Molyneux runs a cult. She was a victim of it and how she got out of it. That's in the works. So who knows? We'll get it in her own words rather than secondhand. It'll be firsthand. And, one person is not indicative of fact, but, she makes some pretty compelling arguments. So let's do the redemption in the third act now. So the Freedom Fiends plan is not to centralize all of your liberty in one place in a heavily weighted near monopoly of one rock star who turns out to be a corporatist by using government guns to maintain his appearance. And we want to teach 50 to 100 to 500 people to do this, give them the how-tos for free on how to do it. We're maintaining our amateur status so we can compete in the Olympics. None of the maybe this is culty. None of the co-hosts get paid. I make about $200 a month, but I work like 40 hours a week on this. You guys just show up and drop mad scientists and leave. And what if I could make more money to cover expenses, I'd probably pay you guys. But I buy you guys dinner and I buy you microphones and I give you free ad space. So it's all good. That's more. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I want to help teach a bunch of people how to do this. And you can donate if you want. If you send a dollar, I will thank you and not yell at you. So you have a little parable about The Walking Dead. And what is it?
Yeah, let's take that tangent all the way back to the first segment of the show. When you were talking about a band where a lead singer was doing something. What band was this? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I talk about bands all the time. What band
we're
that
talking
broke
about
up?
Great oh,
band
that broke fallout. Up. That's band what that I'm talking
broke
about.
Up. Bands that broke up because of creative differences. That?
Right.
Yeah, Jane's Addiction. Bands that break up over creative differences. It's almost always a fib, and they almost always broke up because of drug use of one or more members or using different drugs and or splitting of the money. Because, with the way publishing works with the intellectual properties, the songwriter, if the singer and the guitar player are writing all the songs, like literally they own private jets and drive Lamborghinis and live in mansions when the drummer and bass player who aren't writing any songs are like renting and driving used cars. That's how it works in the music industry. So
here's my redemption for all of you out there who are suffering from great man fallout now that Molyneux has kind of exploded. I want to tell you about The Walking Dead because I experienced some great man fallout when they fired showrunner Frank Darabont.
Showrunner is the guy, like, that doesn't mean he's the he runs for the sandwiches. That means he runs the show and usually
that means he runs
created
the
it.
Show. He, yeah. He's the aesthetic
so
director.
Real quick,
he sets
real quick.
The music.
Real quick.
Everything.
Real quick. What
and
happened?
You know what? The Walking Dead kept going and the Liberty Movement is going to keep going.
And it was great. It was great. And he said it wouldn't work without him, and it worked without him.
Right.
So you don't have to wait for 2,500 more years. You, the listener, can be the guy dropping that mad science. It's out there. Soak it up and spit it out, and we'll teach you to do it for free or for a dollar. I'll charge you a dollar. How's that?
Worms.
Send Stefan Molyneux one Satoshi tonight.
I think I will.
Yeah, I think you should. Thanks, brother man. It's been good, Dr. Barker. You'll be back on interviewing Kinsella with me day after tomorrow. And, yep, Diana's on tomorrow night. Worms.